where strategy gaming meets good vibes. No stress, just critical moves. Hello everyone, and welcome back to Critical Moves. Today we're going to be talking about single player versus multiplayer in strategy games, and how important is the single player experience to the success of a title. I'm joined by Nuno.
Hello everyone.
And by Timothy.
Hey everyone, how are you doing?
Are you good, gentlemen? Had a nice weekend?
Quite all right.
Yeah, pretty much.
Excellent. So I wanted to come together to talk about single-player games and whether a single-player mode is actually important to the success of a game. And I know that Tim, being our regular, awesome multiplayer expert and champion of thousands of online multiplayer matches, will have lots of very strong opinions about this, because for me, I think it's really important that games have a single-player element. Tim, what do you think? Am I wrong? Am I right?
Well, to each their own, right? If you enjoy single player, if you enjoy multiplayer, have fun with that. And there's nothing good or bad about it. But yeah, if you're talking about commercial success, that's a different question, I suppose.
Yeah, you're right. Each to their own. And I certainly wouldn't take away from you wanting to blow people up online and, you know, have a virtual dick measuring contest with people across the globe. But I guess what we're talking about is, can games be successful if they do not have a single player element such as a campaign? Nuno, what do you think?
As someone who enjoys single player, and I don't play multiplayer in strategy games, I mean, if it was down to me, I would say no, because I wouldn't buy them. But games like Tim was saying, like Beyond All Reason, is multiplayer only, and it has a lot of players. So I guess you could say they can be successful, but I don't know any cases of any exclusive multiplayer strategy game. Do you know other titles? Because I don't. Or at least I can't remember.
I think that there's a few, but if we look at the numbers and if we look at purely like commercialization, the numbers don't lie, and there's like vastly more single players than multiplayers. And so if you only care about selling a lot, I guess you do want a single player campaign and single player oriented game. But that is for strategy games, by the way. We're not talking about other genres. But for strategy games, the numbers don't lie. There's many more single players than multiplayers.
I think there was a survey done. It's a few years old now. And in this survey, they asked people, how would you consider yourself? How would you describe your gaming style? Are you a casual player? Are you a competitive player? And it was something like 80% of people mm-hmm. said that they were casual gamers. Mm-hmm. Casual gamers tend not to be playing multiplayer games. Mm-hmm. They tend to want to enjoy a single-player cinematic experience yep. rather than going online and being at the top of their game when it comes to competing. I think that's changed from that original research, which was, as I say, several years old now. And it seems that there's a difference in the demographic. So older players... me, Nuno to a degree, prefer single player games, and younger players, Timothy, prefer multiplayer games. That, of course, is in general. It's certainly not a doesn't apply to everybody, but that seems to be the way things are at the moment. When you find you're playing multiplayer games, Tim, do you ever face off against old farts like me, or does it tend to be the young punks?
What is young and what is old, I suppose.
Well, it's relative, isn't it? It's relative, you know.
To a lot of people I play with, I'm really old. And I play against people that are all older than me. And the multiplayer scene as well. I would say, if we look at, for example, the data from Paradox Games and so on, they have not just polls, but they have like hard data on like people who play their game, what they mostly play. And there's like, say, even more than 80%. It's like considerably more than 80% is single player. But perhaps the Paradox Games are a little bit skewed because it's a huge time investment and the multiplayer aspect of it is a little bit more involved and difficult to pull off. But yeah, to me, I would say I play single player too, by the way, guys. I don't know if I should say this, but I have played single player strategy games and still occasionally
do. Of course you have. Like you mentioned Suzerain a few times, and I take it that doesn't have a multiplayer component.
It does not. If it did, I would play it though, just to mention. I think strategy games are more fun with more people. Simply because I think it's fun to interact with people. The social element is a lot of fun. And I guess I've outed myself here as an extrovert. And also, more importantly than that, it's like you're not going up against predetermined artificial intelligence or like rule set or something, but like a thinking person that has their own perception, their own ideas, their own creativity, and that they can teach you things. And I find that thoroughly interesting, especially in the strategy scene.
Do you think that a purely multiplayer game could be a commercial success?
Guys, what was the name of that game that looks like StarCraft that came out at the end of 2024? I'm not remember.
Stormgate?
Yeah, I think Stormgate was multiplayer exclusive, and it didn't turn out all that great. I think that the game, like the most successful games, or the games with the most longevity are multiplayer, right? So I'm thinking about PUBG, League of Legends, Dota, Call of Duty. I'm not sure why strategy would be the exception to that. I just think that we maybe didn't have that breakout it yet. But I think it can be successful if other genres can pull that off. I think that strategy can do it too. I just know that I'm not the kind of player to enjoy those kinds of games, because like whenever I play strategy games, I do this just to unwind at the end of the day, and I don't want to be competing. Whenever I want to compete in something, I like to do it as a team, so with a couple of friends, and we go and we play, say, something like maybe Overwatch and Counter-Strike, because it's one of the few games that we all play together. And I basically what I'm doing that is just so that we can be on Discord and talking, and not for the competitive aspect of it, right? So just to have some fun. And I don't know. I think a game can be successful, but I'm not sure if we're gonna see that soon. I have without that.
So the way that these games are commercially successful is that the content is not as much something that they have to create, the developers have to create over and over again, the content as the interaction between the players. So let's think of a single player game, a campaign, like a StarCraft campaign or something like that. The content is something that is made over like with a huge amount of designers, developers, arts, creators and so on, and they have to spend a huge amount of time to create the story, create the maps, create the content basically over and the player plays it in a couple of days and it's over, and they finish the campaign, and maybe in a few years they will play it again one more time, but that's about it. That's the content. With multiplayer, you have infinite content, because the interactions between the players is what keeps them coming back. They don't come back to have the exact same experience again. Each time that they play, they have a very different experience, because they're interacting with new people, or they learn, or the enemy learn, or whatever. So commercially, that means that you can give a huge amount of player hours and player retention and so on over a long period of time with very minimal effort in terms of production.
No, you're right. And there's an interesting example of this, which is Supreme Commander. So huge campaign, or three different campaigns on there. Obviously, lots of work has gone into that with story writers, with script writers, in order to get that campaign completed. But the reason why Supreme Commander is still played today isn't because of Supreme Commander, it's because of Forge Alliance Forever. It's because of the multiplayer fan-made client. That's what keeps it relevant in 2025, when the game was released in, I think, 2007, something like that. Yeah. So it's still relevant because of the multiplayer. But there's a caveat to that. that game, how did it get in front of those players? And it didn't get in front of those players initially because of, and I'm talking back in 2007, it didn't get in front of those players initially because of the multiplayer aspect. It got in front of those players because of the single player aspect. As we said back then, or even as recently as 4 years ago, 80% of players would be casual gamers who wanted to play that campaign rather than fight online multiplayer battles. So you need to have this single player element to sell the game, but then you need the multiplayer element for longevity.
Yeah, but also they made their money off of the single players, not the multiplayers.
Well, and that is, again, another point, isn't it? It's great that these games have longevity. It's great that they're still being played. But I suppose for developers, or rather for publishers, let's make sure that we identify who the bad guys are here. It's the EAs of the world. Mm-hmm. For publishers, once they've sold a copy of that game, they don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. Unless you've got Paradox's DLC strategy where mm-hmm. they will continuously plague you for money, for new content. Unless that's your financial strategy, once you've sold your game, you're finished. You don't need to do any more than that. And if people want to continue to play multiplayer versions of your game for the next 10 years, well, let them crack on. The issue comes where you need servers for games. So you need servers for multiplayer games. Who's paying for those servers?
I think Al is in a crusade against publishers on the last couple of episodes. I know the point that you're making, but isn't that part of the life cycle of a game? Like, you can't keep a game going on forever. I mean, you should, right? You should be able to do that. But I think the right thing to do is that once you stop supporting the game, and you don't want to keep paying for the servers, I think the right thing to do is just hand the code over to the community and let them do their stuff, because they'll eventually come around and do it, right? If you have a lot of examples of that. But I think the reason why multiplayer games in strategy, or why like you have that 80-20 rule here, that like 80% of people play single player, but 20% get a lot of attention, is because if you're a publisher, or if you're a developer as well, if you want to keep expanding on your game, it's easier to do when you have an engaged audience, right? So the multiplayer guys are the ones that will play a game for longer, because if you're single player, you play the campaign and maybe do a couple of skirmishes and you probably won't pick it up again for a couple of years. But if you're playing a multiplayer, you're actively engaging with the game, so you're looking for news, you're looking for updates, you're looking for new DLC, you're excited to see what comes next. So I would like to know you guys' opinion on that. Is that I have the idea that on strategy games, multiplayer gets a lot of attention from the community, and I think developers tend to cater a lot to multiplayer gamers. I'm not sure if that's just my perception of it, if you guys have an opposite one, Tim.
So I definitely think that multiplayers are the loudest, but that's, I mean, that speaks a little bit about what I mentioned earlier, is that like, multiplayers are people who are social and socially engaged with the game, and that's how they engage with the game, is like the social element. So they talk with each other, they're already talking, whereas a single player person, the social element is extremely far removed from their day-to-day experience enjoying the game. So I think that's a very simple explanation, but that seems to make a lot of sense to me personally. Well, one thing I would like to bring up, perhaps, is multiplayer does not mean competitive. Maybe this is something...
No, it doesn't. You're right.
Yeah, maybe that's something that's overlooked a lot, but like, there's tons and tons of really fun games you can play, the two of you, and you can maybe even play cooperatively or whichever. Like, Anno 1800, for example, is like a really fun example of that, where you're having fun building your... your islands, trading, and so on. And you can cooperate with each other. You don't have to compete. You're just enjoying the strategy game together. And I think that can be loads and loads of fun. Even games that are traditionally competitive in the multiplayer, or that's how they're seen, even those you can play together. You can play together against the AI. You can do all sorts of things with that. And I've had a tremendous amount of fun doing exactly that, actually.
Yeah, you're right. And Baja's a cooperative mode, doesn't it? And how popular is the co-op mode compared to the purely multiplayer mode?
It is competitive multiplayer mode. It is actually quite popular. We call it PvE, player versus environment. And it does cater a lot to the more casual player who doesn't want to worry so much about, am I doing the most efficient thing possible? And like, want some more laid back time, or like, man, you have a like really stressful job that you're busy with all day. It demands a lot of your attention, and you're coming home and you kind of just want to, like, for 1 hour or so, you want to like escape your life and have some fun building some cool buildings and see big explosions and so on. Yeah, competitive multiplayer is just, it's probably not your thing. And I totally get that. And then the PvE in games like Bar is really fun. It's like, oh, you go with a bunch of friends. It's, you still have the social element, especially if you like that aspect. But you're not that concerned about winning or losing, or like who did what, and like, did you contribute as much as you should, and so on. You're just like, you're enjoying the game, you're enjoying the explosions. But you, Al, you say you're a single player person. Would you enjoy something like that, or because why have you avoided that part?
Just, let me just pick on something that Tim said, which I think it's probably the main reason why I don't like competitive or multiplayer strategy games a lot. It's because if you want to be competitive, you need to be optimal, and I don't want to be optimal when I'm playing my games. I like to try out different tactics. I like to play around with the units. So,
but I gave you like a lot of examples where that was not, where you can have multiplayer and that's not necessarily a requirement. Where you have like in Bar, you have the PvE where you're just chilling and like you can be chill about it and you don't need to be playing at your best, and it's not competitive and it's like more cooperative. And like my question was like, considering that you don't have to be competitive. And you don't have to, you can play chill, but multiplayer and cooperative, like, why not try that, for example?
The reason why I don't play cooperative multiplayer games, just because, first of all, I don't think I have a lot of friends that play strategy games, so it would be very hard.
I was just about to say, it's because he doesn't have any friends.
Yeah. Are we not friends?
Yeah, we are. Heart emojis. I think it's one of the reasons is probably that if you're gonna like go deep into a game, you want to make sure that you have someone or a couple of people that you can play with frequently, right? So I think that's one of the reasons. But the other reason for me is that I just like to try out a lot of different games, and whenever I'm writing for the website, I can't be too focused on a given game, so I'm just the kind of guy that just jumps around a lot when it comes to video games, and I like to try a lot of new games. I like to try a lot of new experiences, so just staying on a single game gets boring for me. For example, I just finished, I'm not sure if you guys know about this game, it came out in early access a couple of years ago. I don't quite remember when, but it came out on version 1.0 last month, called Age of Darkness Final Stand. It's something, it's very similar to They Are Billions, and today I just finished the campaign of it, and I want to review it for Strategy and Wargaming. But after playing the campaign, the game also has a cooperative multiplayer aspect to it, but for some reason, while I enjoyed the campaign, I think it was fun, and the story is actually interesting, I just don't have any motivation to keep playing it. So I just want to, okay, get the reveal done with. I had fun with it. I played like 30 hours of it. So now I just want to play another title. But that's me. I just enjoy playing a lot of different games.
The reason why I haven't tried co-op is perhaps because
you don't have any friends as well.
I've got more friends than you.
Ooh.
The reason why I haven't tried... this is going to be awful to edit this.
No, let it in.
The reason why I haven't tried co-op is perhaps because there's this expectation or there's this reputation that multiplayer games have that they're toxic, that they're not welcoming. And as a purely single-player gamer, you don't want to risk dipping your toe into a multiplayer scene to face that that negativity.
Yeah,
so
no, I get that.
Perhaps multiplayer isn't seen as welcoming. It isn't seen as friendly to new players, or that you're going to be like, oh yeah, great. We know that you're useless and you've only played for 30 minutes, but come and play this co-op mission with us. The anticipation from me is that I'll join a match with you, with a couple of others on Beyond All Reason, a co-op campaign, and I'll be trashed because I'm not, as Nuno puts it, optimal, because I'm not following the best strategies, the best ways to play. And that's off-putting. And I'm sure that's not the case. I'm sure it's a very, very friendly community. But most people's experience of multiplayer games is one of smack talk, of ragging on people, of being a noob. Yeah. You know, and that's very off-putting. And maybe that's the reason why single player games are more successful or are more prevalent than multiplayer games, is because there's that reputation. So how do you, as a multiplayer gamer, dispel that reputation and get people like me to come and play multiplayer games?
No, I won't, because I don't want to tell you lies. And I totally get what you're saying, and there's huge validity to it. And I have had my moments where, like, okay, I'm done with having to deal with this toxicity. And it's real. The thing is, I guess something that strategy game developers can do is create strategy games that are wholesome, and that the gameplay is wholesome, and that, because the traditional RTS games and so on, they're like you said, they're very competitive, and that competitiveness kind of brings that out, you know, and people, like, the ego gets involved, and people feel hurt if they lose and so on, because they attach their self-worth to how well they're doing in the game and so on, and that brings out a lot of this toxicity. And I think if you can center a strategy game around something a little bit more wholesome, and then people will interact differently with that game, even if it's multiplayer. And I think,
what's wholesome about war? I mean, most of these games are war-based. They're conflict-based. So
yeah, but it doesn't have to be this way. It could be. You can make a game about something entirely different.
What, like Animal Kingdom or something like that? I mean, these are not going to be popular.
Factorio, for example. You can play Factorio with a bunch of people and play it cooperatively, and then you're building something together, and you have your own challenges and logistics and so on. And it's tons of fun, and it has people who play it, like, play it very differently than you would your traditional competitive RTS game.
You also had Off-World Trading Company, which was a game where you didn't have the military aspect of it. It was just trading. Yeah. So yeah, the final goal of the game was to beat other players by using, basically, you could say, economic warfare, but just by out-trading them and make sure your economy is better. Yeah, I guess where you're coming from, Tim, but I think the reason why people don't play multiplayer games, it's just maybe because they don't want to. I think it just comes down to that in the end of the day. There's no overarching reason. I think there's no particular reason to that. It's just most gamers I know, people just want to go home, play a couple of hours of video games, or a couple of minutes if they can, and just get on with their day. And if you want to play something multiplayer, and I'm sure a lot of people would like to, but there's a big barrier to entry on a lot of these games that of time investment. You need to start learning the mechanics, you need to learn the meta, you need to have time to play, maybe watch a couple of videos here and there to keep up with the updates and all that. And I think that might be overwhelming for a lot of people. One of the reasons why whenever I drop a multiplayer game I'm playing and I have such a hard time coming back to it is because I feel like I need to, okay, now let me read the latest patch notes. So which is the optimal strategy right now? I'm thinking about League of Legends, for example. I haven't played League in like 2 years, I guess, at the moment. So if I went back and played League of Legends, I'd be like, oh fuck, I need to watch like a couple of hours of YouTube videos just to get up to date at what has been going on. And I think that's a massive barrier for me because it feels like a lot of work for, okay, I'll go and I'll play and I'll maybe stop in a couple of weeks again, and then I come back after 3 years and I just have to do it all over again. And it's just not worth for me.
I'd like to introduce one way in which I've really enjoyed strategy games myself with that is multiplayer as well, and it is also outside of this ID. So with my partner, that's something that I've had a lot of fun. Just the two of us at home, and we're just playing some really fun strategy game, something like Heroes of Might and Magic Tree, where there's like a scenario. Yeah, it's a really fun bonding time, and yeah, that's something I recommend if that's something you're both into, of course, you know.
But I think you've already got the trust there. You already know that that person is not going to be saying, "You're a noob, you're terrible, you know, I'm done with these armless noobs. Do you even turn your monitor on before you started the game?" You can anticipate you're not going to get that negativity from someone that you're close to because you already have those bonds. Whereas coming into a community, an established community. I mean, Bar's been around for 20 years. You tell me. So, coming into that, where you could have players who have been playing the game for a decade or more, and I come in with 10 minutes experience, there is that trepidation that you're going to be met with a lot of negativity, because you are going to be suboptimal. You are not going to be able to understand every single mechanic, understand every nuance of the units or the best strategies or the build orders, the meta, as Nuno puts it. And that is off-putting. So playing with someone that you're close to, fantastic. You're avoiding all of that negativity straight away. Because if you don't, they'll never speak to you for a week. Whereas someone like me wanting to maybe dip my toe into multiplayer gaming, it's off-putting.
No, I get that. One thing is, with newer games, there's usually like a large influx of newer players. Beyond All Reason also like constantly has like an influx of new players. So you can often find with these games people that to play with that are on the same level as you, and that's like a big important design decision as well, is to make sure that that keeps happening. But yeah, if you try to start playing chess now, like everybody you're playing against is like people that are like incredibly good at this game, at that game, and like it's really difficult to get into. But no, I get that. I really do. And I guess it is something that you have to be able to be okay with if you want to get into that. And I would warn people that if they want to get into multiplayer, they've never tried it before, you need a thick skin. If someone is yelling at you, if someone is insulting you, that says something about them. They have issues. If someone is toxic towards you, they have personal issues that they're putting on you. It has nothing to do with you. It's nothing to do with your like how worth you are as a human or anything of that. Even man, you're playing a multiplayer game and you're just like barely playing the game and you have no idea what you're doing and just like, you know, like you have trouble controlling the character or whatever, man. That's fine. Like you don't deserve to be insulted because you don't play well. Even if you objectively play really really poorly, that's totally okay. And yeah, be able to have that thick skin that other people, they're toxic. That's a them issue. They have problems, not you.
Okay, so what are developers doing to combat this toxicity?
That's tough. I'm actually as part of the Beyond All Reason moderation team. It's something that's discussed a lot within the community because, there is a right balance, and that balance is very in a different place if you ask different people. And where is the line drawn differentiates a lot based on different people. So it's a discussion that is ongoing, and I don't think it will ever stop. Some people, they don't mind the toxicity, you know, like they're born in it, you know, so to speak. Not really, actually, but like they're perfectly okay with that being there. And the issue, though, is that if you allow toxicity without any moderation, they chase away anyone that is not okay with that. And I think there's actually more people not okay with toxicity than people that are okay with it, but they're just not as loud as the toxic ones. So I do think mm-hmm. that strong moderation is still a important thing, even if you don't hear a lot of people saying that moderation should be stricter, and you mostly hear people complaining that moderation is too strict, because that's the usual feedback you get.
I have my hot take on that is that I think moderation in games are too strict. Coming from someone who played a lot of Call of Duty way back in the day, and if you know Call of Duty in the early 2000s, you know the people were wild when they were playing that. So you couldn't play in a lobby without getting flamed or insulted or having your mom be called every sort of name. So I think that when it comes to toxicity, I don't have any problem with people trash talking or being rude or something, as long as they don't cross some kind of "I'm gonna kill you" and do this and that, which is mentally fucking retarded. If you're not one of those guys, I think trash talking is okay, and I think most people really don't care about that. I mean, if you're playing a game and someone calls you a name, do you really think about that? After the game is over, I don't think so. I don't think that a lot of people do really care about it.
No, you don't. You don't. You're right. You don't. However, what you said actually, you know, yourself was when the reason you play games is you want to relax. Tim said the same thing. You've got a stressful job. You want to just build things and blow things up. You want to come into this for a relaxing, entertaining experience, not to be abused. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I do have a thick skin. It's necessary as part of my day job to have a very, very thick skin. But I don't want to then spend my leisure time dealing with dickheads, you know, because I deal with enough dickheads in life without dealing with them when I go online. But when we talk about developers trying to prevent levels of toxicity, when it comes to Beyond All Reason, which is a purely multiplayer game or predominantly mm-hmm. multiplayer game, it must be vital to the success of that project that you ensure you've got strong moderation in order to make sure that people want to come and play the game?
Highly disagree with that. Otherwise, League of Legends has the most toxic community on Earth. I can assure you I was part of that community. And it's one of the largest games ever. And it's terrible.
So, no, I disagree with you on there. I can tell you that, as you mentioned, Bar has been alive in one form or another for all of that time, for like 20 years or something like that. And for most of that time, there was no moderation or almost no moderation. And people were extremely, extremely toxic. They would call each other all sorts of names, insult each other like very, very strongly. Because not only is it a competitive game, it's a team competitive game. So if your ally doesn't do the most efficient thing possible, you're going to lose. You feel bad about it. So you get angry at the others for making you feel bad, basically. And yeah, there would be very regularly new players who come along and like, "Oh, cool, this strategy game I'm going to try." They immediately get insulted. They immediately leave. and it stayed small. The game stayed really, really small. And you see this a lot, and this happens so much. And you mentioned yourself, like, you don't want to play a game because you're stressed about the feedback you're getting and so on. And honestly, if let's say I have a board game cafe and I invite people to come over and play my game that they developed or whatever, it's a board game, and people come over in person to play this board game, and then, like, while they're playing, there's one person that starts yelling at the other person that they're playing with, and they're calling them all sorts of insults and verbally abuses them. I'm saying, I'm sorry, this is my place that I'm hosting here. You're being abusive. Please leave now. And I don't want them to come mm-hmm. back. I really don't. And if I host a game and I invite people to come and play my game, and some people are nasty and verbally abusive, I don't want them. That's how I personally view them. I'm sure some people, they don't mind the toxicity. They're okay with that. They've learned to cope with it or whatever. I still believe that they are negatively impacted by it. I still believe that it's not really good for you to be around this toxicity so much. But, I mean, to each their own. If that's what they decide to do, go for it. But, I think it can be done much, much better than just, oh, let's allow everything. And I think being verbally abusive is just, it's not okay. It's not something that you should be told is okay to do.
And is perhaps these levels of toxicity in multiplayer communities, is that maybe a factor in why they're not as successful as the single player elements of these games?
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about, okay, there's a few things. I think there's one is like this fear of negative feedback from others, but also there's like fear of not being enough, right? Like, oh, you play a game against someone who's much, much better than you, and to destroy you, and like, you're not having fun. Like, what is this? What did I just do? Like, I just spent half an hour just being completely beaten by this person. I had no chances of winning. And to ever change that, I would have to invest like many, many hours to overcome that and gain all these skills, and there's many, many hours of suffering so that maybe I could enjoy it. I think that's another factor that people don't play multiplayer as much.
No, I just have a different perspective on that, because if you're gonna play a game online, and if you're gonna be discouraged by someone who's being rude to you, I think that maybe you should get a bit of a thicker skin, because I mean it's a fucking game, and it's some idiot online that you're probably never gonna see or play with again. And like I told you, I have a lot of these kind of experiences in my gaming life, for someone who played Counter-Strike, Call of Duty, League of Legends, so every toxic game you can find. I know I've been called a lot of names or insulted a lot, but I cannot tell you one single example of it, because it just doesn't affect me at all. It's just, oh yeah, okay, so this guy didn't like the way I play this and is calling me names. Yeah, sure, but just I guess so. Yeah, if you wanna be rude, and if I want to, and if I feel insulted, I'll be rude back, and I have no problem being like that. So if you're gonna call me names, just be sure, be ready to be insulted back, and that's the way. If you throw shit, expect some shit back at you, and I think that people would be. I think gaming would be better if people would start, like, if someone's nasty to you, make sure that you defend yourself. Don't report them. Don't just, okay, if they call your names, call them a couple of names back, and probably things will just end there, and things will be all right after that. So I think just to people being stupid, and if you're stupid to them, I think things just end there. I think just some people, their definition of fun is being assholes. So if you're an asshole to them.
So that's great for you that you don't mind that. I don't think like having a habit of insulting each other creates like that great of a fun experience that people would enjoy. But regardless of how you personally, Nuno, feel about that, I think as a person that goes into a public space, you have a certain type of rights not to be verbally abused. And if someone goes ahead and do that, I think that should be discouraged. And I think if you have someone over that you've invited in your home and they're starting to be verbally abusive to some of your other guests, I think you would have a problem with that.
I think that those things are not the same. One thing is just if you're in your home and if someone is physically there, and if they're being rude to you, that's very different from someone which you're playing against, which is probably hundreds of miles away from you, and you're just playing a game with them. And if they're rude to you, yeah, sure, you always have the option to probably mute them or just ignore them. Well, if I'm in a physical space with you, I don't have that option to ignore you. So it's quite a stretch to put those things together. What I'm saying is that I don't have any problem with people being rude online just because I don't give a fuck about them. And I believe me, I get a lot of emails of people calling me names, all sorts of names, because of stuff that I write on my website, which I would say is pretty tame. I don't write about politics, I don't do anything of that, but people still get mad about it and write angry emails. So the Karens of the world will act like that. And I'll talk back. If someone tells me, oh, you're this because of that, I'll email them back and say, oh, go fuck you. Because go fuck yourself, because I don't have to deal with that.
Just because you're okay with that doesn't mean that other people are okay with that.
All I'm saying is that they have
to be okay with it.
They don't have to be okay with that. That's a personal opinion. That's what I'm saying. I just think that if you want to be an asshole online, if you want to be an asshole while playing a game, I think that eventually you're going to run out of people to play with. So you're not going to have any friends, you're not going to be having fun.
Last thing,
let's just draw a line under that, because I want to just make this point, because before you two start
being toxic
throwing things at each other, the question is, do these kind of behaviors that Nuno says he doesn't care about, and I agree with Timmy, I think that it's unacceptable. Do these kind of behaviors foster an environment which makes games successful? We are all strategy gaming fans. We all want to play strategy games. We all want games to be successful within our particular chosen genre. Now, the question is, if you've got people coming into these environments who are being dickheads, does that make other people want to play those games? And if other people aren't playing those games, developers aren't making those games because there's no money in it for them. So surely it makes sense for all strategy gaming fans to be against those kind of behaviors that prevent people from wanting to be part of that community. Is that not a fair comment?
I think there's two types of players. Players that are okay with it and players that are not okay with the toxicity. And players that are not okay with the toxicity, you're not going to hear them. They're not going to complain too much about it. They're not going to say anything. They're going to join. They're going to try. They're going to get this like very strong like reaction from people. And they're going to be like, nope, uninstall, gone. And you don't even know that there's an issue or anything like that. Whereas the people that are okay with toxicity or even themselves are very abusive verbally, if you're too strong on the moderation part, you will hear them. They will come at you. They will complain. How dare you be so moderate so strictly and so on. And they'll direct this toxicity towards moderation even. And I think that gives developers sometimes a little bit of, we shouldn't moderate too strictly because look at this verbal abuse that we're getting basically from the community. I would say that maybe you should consider the silent majority that is actually totally not cool with that. Because if you go in the streets, if you talk to people, vast majority just does not enjoy being insulted like that and doesn't accept that.
Okay. No, I agree. All right. So let's move on from this toxic conversation. Sorry, this toxicity conversation, because neither of you being toxic, you're all wonderful. Single player gamers, they stick to campaign modes. If you look at the most successful developers, Creative Assembly, Paradox, predominantly, they are single-player developers. They produce very, very high-quality, or sometimes mediocre quality single player games with multiplayer as an afterthought. Do you know, or can you think of any examples of where people have been able to, or developers have been able to produce both a quality, high quality single player experience, but also a in-depth, well thought out, competitive multiplayer scene as well? Or can't you have both?
I think you can have both.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, I think the game that most better exemplifies that is probably StarCraft and Company of Heroes. Those games have fantastic campaigns and they have really competitive modes. I think StarCraft is probably the most successful multiplayer strategy game of all time, I think. Might be wrong on that, but mm-hmm. I think so. And the campaign is fantastic.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And StarCraft really, I mean, it was the Command & Conquer games that that started online multiplayer for RTS games in particular. But it was StarCraft that mastered that. It was StarCraft that refined that and made it the. Yeah. I mean, you look at the Koreans. Do they not still have StarCraft leagues even now, which are hugely popular. They're almost cultural events, you know.
One big thing is that Command & Conquer was a bad multiplayer game. And it could have been a lot of fun single player, but like the skill ceiling was very low in Command & Conquer, and it was a bit too simplistic to put a lot of strategic depths in a competitive environment, whereas StarCraft was quite a bit further ahead of that, indeed. So I think that's a big thing to consider.
Okay. So in the future, where do we go from here?
Probably more specialization, I think. I think that there's like great single player strategy games to be made, and then some great multiplayer strategy games to be made, and they're not necessarily the same game as much as those old games of like StarCraft, I think.
I hope games keep going the way they're going at the moment, which is you have a bit of both. And eventually, hopefully, we'll have the Call of Duty or the League of Legends of strategy gaming. And I think we already had that with StarCraft.
So.
But I think that eventually someone is going to figure that one out and you're going to have a massive multiplayer hit. I just don't think we're there yet. But I'm hopeful.
If nobody has made it 10 years from now, I'll make sure to have made it by then personally.
Is it beyond all reason to?
It's work in progress.
Now, what's your opinion, Al? What's your opinion on this?
What's my opinion on what?
Where do we go from here?
I don't know.
He's having fun all by himself.
Yeah, I'm a single-player gamer. I think I'll remain that way for a very long time. I may choose to dip my toes into. Bear in mind, we still have to get Joe on for our Beyond Our Reason grudge match, where there will be smack talk. it'll be polite, you know. Hey, you Clark Kent looking mother crusher, you're a noob, or you know something like that. It's interesting. It's interesting to see what's going to come in the future. I know with Sanctuary Shattered Sun, they're looking heavily at the moment into the multiplayer side of things. Interestingly, for their demo, which will be out in July of this year, it's going to be a single player campaign.
Cool.
But the amount of work that goes into, especially for indie developers, and I know we've talked in the past about indie developers being the people that we are relying on in particular for RTS games now, because as we covered in the last episode, AAA studios gave up on RTS because they don't see it being financially viable. So we're relying on our indie developer friends to carry these games forward. Scripts for missions take a lot of work, take a lot of money, take a lot of investment. You've got to write a story. You've got to do art. There's a huge amount of investment that goes into it. But personally, and I think historically, the evidence all tells us, if you do not have a single player element to your game will not be commercially successful. So I think that studios will continue to focus on single player elements. And in the background, you'll have that toxic multiplayer scene, which people like me just aren't really interested in getting involved in. And it's not about me not wanting to be abused. It's just I can't be asked to deal with it.
Yeah.
So that's where I stand. So on that point, on that bombshell, thank you very much, gentlemen, for coming to talk to me. It's always a pleasure to see your beautiful faces and hear your lovely voices. For the listeners out there, come and join our Discord and tell us what you think about the single-player versus multiplayer gaming situation. Are you a toxic gamer? Do you smack talk like a bitch? or do you hate it? If you go to criticalmovespodcast.com, you'll find all of our links. Come and talk to us. And if you've enjoyed us smack talking each other for this episode, please share this episode with somebody else you think might enjoy it too. Thanks for listening. Goodbye, gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
All right. Cheers.